Hello, welcome to Binary Jazz, podcast about whatever Allison wants us to talk about. I'm Gary. To my one side is my co-host, Clorox Wipe Salesman Extraordinaire.
Wow, that was a great hand gesture to do as you're saying Clorox Wipe Salesman.
I mean, it bodes well for your future career washing windshields.
It does.
New York City, right?
Yes.
And our... I feel like if Chris and I are hosts and Allison needs to be like, what's the, who's the guy on Jeopardy, the announcer? But you're not the announcer. Our topistician, topic creator?
Our head writer.
Chief writer. Yeah. Chief writer.
Chief of staff.
Yeah. Wow. Before we hit record, I said maybe we'll crash and burn on the introductions, and I think we did a good job. Probably time to explain. This is episode 100, right? So counting by binary is definitely the way to go if you want to get to 100 quickly. big fan of that. If you're new, there's very little continuity. There are silly inside jokes that aren't that important, but you should listen to the first 11 episodes. this podcast is simple. Allison picks a topic that Chris and I are aware of as soon as she tells us what it is, and we talk about it until we run out of time and close with some interesting questions.
That's about it.
Cool, let's go.
Okay. The topic for today, so it's an acronym, ASMR, which I've pronounced asthma, but I don't actually know that to be true or false.
I'm going to open... TextMate and write ASMR because I will forget like the order.
Okay. ASMR. As soon as mother returns. let's see.
That's so formal.
Yeah.
Mother.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're Mike Pence, then you refer to your wife as mother.
Association of Southern Mississippi Radiologists.
Mississippi. after sunset, moon rises.
Arbitrary static method returns.
It's actually a haiku.
Oh. Geez. ASMR.
I can give you the first word.
No, I think we should go on. I think we should do this for about 20 more minutes.
Yeah.
And there's science involved again this week.
Ooh, science.
It's science, okay. Asperger's students meet regularly.
I think the second word has to be science.
Appropriated science, math, and reconnaissance.
What would appropriated science be?
That's science. When you steal science from other people.
You've taken over their science.
You've taken over their science, yes. It's like, I'm a biologist, but I'm going to appropriate your paleontology.
For my own use.
For my own biological use.
So diabolical. Like, people's subject matter.
Exactly.
I think I need, we could make stuff up forever, but I think I need some context because now I'm really curious, right? So is it like a group? Is it an assembly or an association? Or is it a industry-specific acronym? Is it
everything is an industry-specific acronym.
It's an industry-specific acronym.
Ooh, what industry?
It's a term for something, so it's not like a group or a conference or anything like that.
Okay. Can we ask what industry? You can ask.
I don't actually know. I don't know if this is industry. I think it's human specific.
Big industry.
Yeah, it's a big industry. It's specific to the human body.
Oh, is it like a part of a human body? Like, oh yeah, I broke my ASMR last week.
That damn ASMR. No, kind of.
Huh. Because there's lots of weird acronyms. That's like, that's when you combine an acronym and an anachronism. It becomes an acronym. There's lots of acronyms for various ligaments and things. You know,
medically stuff, yeah.
Yeah. ACL, LCL.
Yeah, no, it's not it's PVC. Not like actual thing that you can necessarily point to.
It's my ASMR right there.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh.
Don't show that on camera.
And we're all pointing.
For family show.
Not watching.
Is the word medial in there somewhere?
No.
Probably on the M? No? Okay. Yes, it stands for medial.
I really like the guessing part of this. I also enjoy how befuddled you get when you can't, when you don't know it yet, Gary.
Oh man, I know, it's maddening.
Aortal.
The show is for us to talk about it. I don't know what it is, and that's been every episode so far.
Aortal. scenic. No, wait, we said it was
scientific. Senile.
Aortal, senile, medical ligament. Sure. Wait, no, wait, R.
R.
Record.
Yeah, ligament with an R. It's a silent R.
Can I give you what the S or the R is, maybe? There's still three other letters. It's not like...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, deal. Sure, pick one.
So S is sensory.
Sensory. Okay. So A, sensory MR.
We can
automatic sensory.
Don't try to hide it.
No, I was typing the word sensory into TextMate, so I didn't get the acronym confused.
Yeah. Automatic sensory memory.
Is this
recognition?
Is this related to like when you get sick to your stomach while reading in the car?
No.
Okay.
Oh, well, I don't think it's supposed to be. I guess
if you're like, if you're reading about it, it certainly is.
I really, to be honest,
automatic memory, automatic ASMR, automatic sensory memory.
Is the M for memory?
No, nothing to do with them.
Damn.
How about another letter?
So A is autonomous.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah. Now we've kind of, instead of balderdash, this is more like Wheel of Fortune at this point.
Can I have an E, please? Is there an R?
I can still give you what it stands for, and I don't actually know if that would clear anything up.
Oh, great. Let's do it then.
Yeah, okay.
I could
autonomous,
spend 10 more minutes.
Yeah. Autonomous sensory mechanical. I don't know. I fall apart there. Yeah.
Okay, so ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
Meridian. Mm-hmm. Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Is that like, is this just balance?
Just balance. Just
balance,
right? No, it's not just balance.
But thank you for playing. That was excellent. That was an excellent.
Episode 100 in the can.
Don't discount balance. I feel like.
I mean, I didn't mean like just balance. I appreciate balance.
Very, very core feature of the human body.
And in life in general. I really step in it a lot. Just balance.
Just balance.
Okay, it's already autonomous sensory.
Meridian.
Meridian. And what's the R?
Response.
Response, right. Response. That should have been easy to guess. Given,
well, really? Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things that's always in medical acronyms. Sensory response. For some reason,
I thought I would bring this to the table and you would both know. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
Your opinion of us is way higher than it needs to be.
I think because it's like... I think it's just because it's an interesting sub-niche that I think has popped up in general. And I feel like since we all spend maybe perhaps more than the average civilian on the internet, that we would have come across it, I think is why.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just me. Maybe I've just gone...
Okay, so autonomous sensory meridian response is the perception of an artificial horizon. Huh. It's when you look off in the distance and you think you see the horizon, or you look at a picture and it shows the horizon and you think that goes on forever, but in fact it's a two-dimensional photograph.
I think this is when you're like laying in bed.
Nailed it.
I want that. I need to now know the word for that phenomenon. This is not it.
Because it's autonomous and it's sensory because you have the perception of it being the actual horizon. And it's the meridian because it's the meridian. And it's your response to that meridian.
Perfect. What a gorgeous sunset.
Exactly.
When you feel like you're falling, when you're like falling asleep, right? So like the meridian response is like, oh my gosh, the ground is moving underneath me. But it didn't because you're laying in bed, right?
No? What's it called? What's it called when you feel like you're falling and you wake up and you fall on the floor?
Ouch.
Oh, you what's that response?
Do either of you sleepwalk?
No.
I used not to. I mean, not since I was like, I don't know, 13.
Oh, I walk while sleeping. Well into college. I mean, in college, I hopped up out of bed and wandered off and speak in my sleep and everything until, I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. Did you ever like fall downstairs or anything?
No, I once walked out the front door of my house in high school in just my underpants yelling one of my friend's names. My dad was like, what the hell are you doing?
I almost did that.
What am I doing? Yeah.
The last memory I have of me sleepwalking was me getting out of bed, walking to the front door and opening the door and then standing there as the cold air is hitting me. And my dad happened to be on the couch because he fell asleep watching TV. And he looks up at me and he wakes up like in a sleepy voice. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it. Yeah.
But I had my roommate in college, my first roommate in college, slept. He didn't sleepwalk, but he slept talk. And it was kind of aggravating, but it was also kind of funny because he would talk really loudly and it was complete gibberish. It was like, bah, 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 bah. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
It definitely goes against the like idea of like kind of mumbling in your sleep.
Yeah, it wasn't mumbling. It was like yelling.
Really is therapy, probably. Yeah. Mike Birbiglia has some great stuff on storytelling on his sleepwalking, which he was diagnosed with something, but he essentially now has to, I think, sleep in like one of those like sleeping bags with like mitts and things, because otherwise he has a story about being in Walla Walla, Washington, and at a motel and being on the second floor. It's quite... He's a great storyteller.
ASMR. I mean, I know what it stands for, and I still don't know what it stands for.
I can expand more.
The meridian is totally throwing me.
I don't know if it should be as much. Is it because it's too sciencey sounding? I don't know.
I think these words in and of themselves mean something individually, but put together in this way.
wiser words.
Yeah. So let's
meridian, meridian, a circle of constant longitude passing through a given place on the Earth's surface and the terrestrial poles.
So a sensory.
So the middle of the thing.
Yeah.
So the autonomous sensory meridian response is your perception of the middle.
Hmm.
Like,
I'm on board.
This is the middle of this cup. This is the middle of this mouse. I am perceiving the middle of a thing, the meridian of the thing that I'm holding.
Yeah, but response,
maybe it's right? The perception response, of my middle. My middle is right here.
But response indicates like some kind of an autonomous, right? The bookend words in this indicate some kind of thing your body does without your logic, right? Because we know it's body related, right? Without your like logical thought process, correct? No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Wait. Is it your sense of direction?
No.
Damn. Because that would be really cool if
like,
it was.
I like the idea of the sunset and horizon. I wish that was it now.
All right. I give up. I want to actually talk about what it is, but I need to know what it is first.
Relating to. Meridian can also be an adjective. Mm. Relating to or situated at a meridian. That doesn't help.
Well, middle response, it does. It means middle response.
I don't like when definitions refer to
middle response.
Yeah. The actual word in the definition. I think that's a cop-out.
It is a cop-out.
Except for the word recursion. That's like the only position, only possible word that using the word in the definition makes sense.
Okay.
Makes
sense. The second definition for meridian, according to Googling meridian, is in acupuncture in Chinese medicine, it says each set of pathways in the body along which vital energy is said to flow. Qi, if you will.
Yeah, I think I knew.
There are 12 such pathways associated with specific organs. So the meridian of you get poked with the needle and your autonomous sensory meridian response reacts to the needle poking you in the meridian. I'm gonna poke you in the meridian.
I feel like that definition is slightly woo-woo enough and a bit more aligned with ASMR in general.
Yeah, that's kind of why I like it. Because I felt like going into the Chinese Eastern medicine things was different enough from what we were trying to come up with.
Yeah,
it's also my tagline is Allison, just woo-woo enough.
That should go on your Twitter profile after the show. Just woo-woo right enough.
Just the right amount. okay, so I can describe. Yeah, are we ready?
Sure, yeah. I think we're at that time.
I think Gary's reaching his meridian level of frustration.
The middle. Things have come to a middle.
So it's a term used for when your body responds with like a tingling or static sensation. It's kind of a sub niche of, I would say, video and audio provided out there on the internets. It's commonly triggered by specific like acoustic or visual stimuli. And it causes like a tingle, like up your spine generally.
Right.
and it's very calming. There's like a whole community of people creating these videos and audio cues for other people based on like crinkling things very quietly, or like the sound of a pen on paper, or there's lots of like unwrapping or whispering is a very common one. People use it for calming purposes, to fall asleep.
There's like always a physical manifestation of this, or sometimes it's just a,
well, that's a, what it is. That's, you know, that's,
well,
yeah.
But I mean, it could be like a phantom feel, right? Like it didn't really happen, but is there a physical manifestation, or does it feel as though there was a physical manifestation?
I don't know. Is there a difference?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think you felt it, then did you not feel it? If a tree falls in the forest, nobody heard it, does it actually fall? I mean, like.
Well, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is like, if it feels like, let's say it feels like coming up my back, like, you know, like muscles, like, you know, is there an observable like pattern of muscle contraction, or is it just a thing that like happens in your brain that feels like it's happening?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good question. I don't think it's a measurable thing that can be monitored. I think it's your sensory perception of it. I think.
Yeah. I think that, cause I read an article recently that was talking about, people who There are people who listen to music and certain types, well, obviously there's lots of people that listen to music. There are some people who, when they listen to music, the sensation of shivers up your spine, that occurs more in like this group of people over here than the rest of the population. It's like high intelligence people are more likely to have that response to music than the rest of the world, or I don't even remember what the subgroup was, but there's like, you know, this group of people over here that have that experience and other people don't. And which also ties into the ASMR. And actually now that I probably would not have, I do know of the phenomenon of people recording videos to stimulate that kind of response. I am aware of that. That is not a new concept. I heard about it at some point and then promptly forgot.
As with most endeavors on the internet.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's a thing that exists.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Is it like shivers or chills? I mean, would you equate it to that same feeling or?
Yeah.
I mean, not shivers, like when you're ill, but like shivers, like, ooh, yeah. That was spooky, and there's no manifestation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now that we know what it is.
Go on.
It's a thing. It is a thing. Yeah. Do you, Gary, that's definitely something that I can relate to. In fact, I was getting like tinglies when you were talking about it.
Right? Same thing. I'm like,
ooh. Okay, good. I'm not weird.
And I wonder, like that can't be like a normal thing, right? The first time you logically observe it, you're like, oh, but then it's got to be like, you know, I don't know. Anything else you've been exposed to, like the more you're exposed to it, the less intense it is, right? So
that's why you would record videos or look for videos,
right?
God.
Right.
Now I'm like, my brain is on this like tangent of like, what about people who like get addicted to that like sensation? And like,
I went to the same place, right?
Yeah, like, so that's really like, weird.
Like as part of this, like you're releasing endorphins or whatever, right? Or you know, and you're feeling really good. And is that? I mean, are you? Is it? It's like, you know, body created high that you want more of.
I mean, I don't see why. It's probably that's not the, like, I don't know.
Has there been any science on this? I wonder that, you know, there's a point where people go, yeah, I mean, there's like measurable differences in brain chemistry during and or after.
That would be a fascinating thing to Google.
We really need a scientist on this show. I feel like
we really need someone who knows what they're talking about.
I mean, I don't want to
that would
that
defeat
far.
The purpose of the entire show.
I just want a scientist to be like, that sounds like sweet BS. Or a scientist to be like, I don't see why that couldn't be a thing, right? I mean,
okay, I will record or find recordings of a scientist and then I will inject them into the conversation at times. Yes.
Yeah,
and I think like the scientist has to be like whispering so they trigger ASMR.
yeah. You know what would be cool too is that we'll have this mental image of the scientist that's completely different. you know, I mean, I'm thinking lab coat.
Real okay. Well, we can all just show up wearing lab coats.
That's true. I mean, or we can get somebody on Fiverr to wear a lab coat and show up on our show and pretend to be a scientist.
And that wouldn't even be like an abnormal gig on Fiverr.
No, it wouldn't be.
I gotta go be a scientist on this podcast, but then we end up coffee. Like, what? Man, that gets my goat. Like, I was reading an article today. On the internet, probably. I don't know where else I read an article. I mean,
where else do articles exist?
I was reading this article on the internet talking about, like, you know, the gig economy. And I don't remember what year it was. It didn't seem that far into the future where there was concern that we would be, you know, 50% plus avoiding the gig economy. And that's a bit alarming to me, you know? I worry about that.
Why?
I think generally the gig economy thus far has been a way for a lot of large corporations to circumvent, you know, like standard policies and laws that are in place to keep people safe. You know, I think it circumvents all that.
I think that there's a certain percentage of the population who do not work well with traditional jobs and would actively choose that type of work. And I also think that there is a different group of people who would prefer to not work within those, within that that environment, and would prefer something more stable and with the 401k, and you know, we clock in at a certain time or whatever.
Absolutely, but in the circumstances where the gig economy is replacing like existing, let's talk Uber,
like and Uber and taxis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, in that case, you know, they're circumventing regulations that in some cases are you know, maybe heavy-handed, but are in the interest of public safety. And then there's these folks are driving for, you know, ultimately when they do their taxes, realize they're driving for, you know, less than minimum wage and barely breaking even. And it looks really good on paper, but when all the dust settles, it's not a great situation. That's what I worry about. I used to say too, so when I
was like, Uber and taxi, I mean, that Uber is going to become all robot driven anyway. So,
right. And so then someone has to clean the cars, right? So gig economy, cleaning robot cars, apparently, I don't know. So when I
got to get the vomit off the floor.
Oh, you know, at some point they self-sterilize, right? They just like roll themselves over and dump out and then hose themselves down. When I was doing the e-commerce thing, we used to say all the time that eBay was great because it was a place for people that were functionally unemployable to make a living. We would sell stuff to people that were selling it on eBay, and these were some very interesting and bizarre people. But eBay was their channel and their way to make a living, eke something out, as weird as they were.
Wait, what was the term you used? Functionally unemployable?
Functionally unemployable, yeah.
Hashtag functionally unemployable.
Yeah, that really captures my imagination in a big way. I don't know why.
I mean, and I say that for like a lot of reasons. Like, you know, they have social interaction issues, or they are confined to the house.
I feel like I should just have like a big neon sign near me. I'm unemployable by myself.
But then as like e-commerce has grown up and Amazon became Amazon and you know, like took over the world over the last decade online, decade and a half, you know, the eBay marketplace has shifted dramatically. And those folks are still selling there and, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But Amazon doesn't really fit that kind of seller. You know, you can't be quirky.
Quirky. I speaking of the gig economy, which is completely tangential to autonomous sentry meeting response, I know someone who recently got a gig doing, you know how there's like secret shoppers? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she is at least occasionally a secret apartment shopper.
Oh, nice.
So she goes to apartments and pretends to be somebody who wants to rent the apartment and then grades the agent or whatever representative on how well they show the place, if they answer their questions, how they greet her, etc. And I didn't even know that this thing existed, although like after hearing it, of course it exists because it's a thing that somebody could think of. So of course it exists. Anything that somebody could think of is something that exists. And she really enjoyed doing it because it means like you get paid $100 for like an hour worth of work and then she can do whatever, you know, the rest of her day. And like, you know, all she needs to do is go in with her, you know, she takes her kids along. She's like, yeah, we're looking at this apartment and you know, yeah.
Now, in pretending to be an applicant, is she pretending to be a good applicant? Or does she get to, like, make up a backstory where, like, oh, like, maybe I didn't pay rent at my last place always on time and, like, my credit's bad or, like, I don't know.
Like, how many iguanas do you allow?
Yeah. Like, do they throw things to, like, the realtor representative that might throw them for a loop, but if they handle it, like, really, like, extra professional, it's, like, bonus points?
So normally I would say I have no idea, but since this is Binary Jazz, which is the podcast version of Balderdash, I'm going to say yes, she absolutely makes up entire backstories and often will just invent new occupations. Like, what's your previous employer? Oh, yeah, I work for an underwater basket weaving company. Yes, it's a little bit difficult to find work in Utah because there's not a lot of, I mean, there's, you know, limited bodies of water, but, you know.
When we moved up to Jacksonville a little over a decade ago, we rented an apartment initially, and one of the places we went to, the apartment manager was showing us this place, and we walk in, and it was like it was the show apartment, but there was this bathroom that was entirely done up in like Elvis, but non-functional. So like the sink was full of pom poms, and there was like party Elvis like silhouettes on the wall, like holding the microphone and everything.
What is this magical place?
it wasn't magical. It was weird because the rest of the apartment was like, you know, the empty apartment you expect to see when you see an apartment you're going to rent, you know, like nothing abnormal. And I opened the bathroom and walk in. Whoa. Like, what? Like first it was a silhouette. I thought it was a person with a microphone in there. And then I put the light on and it's like hot pink and black and then these crazy pom-poms. And then, yeah.
And it wasn't a functional bathroom.
I mean, the toilet worked, but what if I got to wash my hands in pom-poms? I don't understand. Like, it was very bizarre. We did rent there, though. Not the Elvis suite, but elsewhere. Yeah. It was not a great area of town, and so there's many more stories about that.
I guess that explains why Elvis?
I don't know. I haven't put much thought into it. I was just reminded of it when we were talking about apartments.
Why
now
not?
I'm thinking, I'm on the way there tonight and wonder why. Like, what was the purpose of Elvis? So, hey, we're
that's a silly question.
next week's topic.
Why not Elvis?
No, I mean in that bathroom. Like, why was that bathroom an homage to Elvis? I don't know.
What?
I'm trying to reach the part of the show where we answer questions, but I can't quite get there. We have a segment where we answer questions.
And we actually, and you can submit your questions on our website at binaryjazz.us. There's a form there that submits questions to us. And if it doesn't get filtered as spam, we'll actually see them. We did, in fact, have a question submitted to us, which we'll read first. And then we have a couple other questions that I'm sure that Allison will either conjure up right now or ask us if we have remaining time. So the question that we have, Robin asks us, who would win in a no weapons melee? Abraham Lincoln or Paul McCartney? And I feel like this refers back to our first episode when we were talking about the second best or second favorite Beatle, which then in the podcast notes and description I said the worst Beatle.
What?
Well, no, I mean I did it intentionally.
Oh.
Because I was talking about Paul McCartney.
Because you have strong feelings.
Yes, I have strong feelings about Paul. I would no hesitation, Abraham Lincoln would hands down annihilate Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I gotta go with Abe Lincoln on this one too. I think that he just, you know, I think
he's like 12 feet tall, right? Like
Lincoln, you know, I mean, right? I don't know. I mean,
I feel like extra gangly limbs, like pretty scrappy. He's seen some things.
Yeah, and
reach too, right? I mean, it's like boxers. Like they.
I was gonna
like,
say, well, he was a boxer, right?
Was
right. I don't know, but yeah, but I don't know.
And Paul McCartney's like peaceful. He probably wouldn't even fight.
He would just get his face bashed in. It would be like that scene in Lincoln Fight Club. I wanted to destroy something beautiful. Jared Leto.
Just so I can say, I fought a zombie president. Why are zombies in every episode?
Again,
is
why
that
not?
Next question? No.
Next question. Pineapple and pizza or raisins and cookies? Or both? Option C.
I don't have strong feelings about either of those things. I know that there are people who do have strong feelings about pineapples on pizza and raisins in cookies. And I used to have strong feelings about raisins and cookies, but like then I grew up And yeah, I like oatmeal cookies. So if they have raisins in them, then I'm not going to like throw them in the trash. I grew up with, you know, Hawaiian, quote, Hawaiian pizzas with pineapple and ham on it. And I don't have a problem with that.
So I'm pro both. I think the pineapple is a nice little, you know, blast of flavor, even when it's dried out in a piece of, you know, crummy pizza. And I mean, cookies, like, come on.
Yeah, I'll pretty much eat any cookie.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not
on board with that statement.
Yeah. I have a pineapple story, though. So in the days when I was a small appliance salesman, I used to do a lot of trade shows, and we would we always had a food dehydrator out. And so whatever city we were in, we would go buy a fresh pineapple and core it and cut it and throw it in there because it smelled fantastic. So everybody walking by wanted to stop and talk to you. And it didn't matter how dehydrated the pineapple was. Like at any point after it had been in there for an hour, like if it was still just juicy and warm to like when it was like, you know, really fully dehydrated, everybody was always like, oh, that's the best way to prepare it. So we sold so many silly dehydrators off of like, oh, you only have to leave it. We've only had this out for 3 hours today, and this is the best way to prepare pineapple. And it didn't matter how long it was. It was 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. All day long was the best amount of time to prepare pineapple.
You were a snake oil salesman, is what I'm hearing from this story.
When you're selling small kitchen appliances, like no one cares. Does it look good, and can I make a lot of money on it? People that are buying it from us, like we were a distributor. We weren't selling it to the customer. We were selling like, buy a case of eight and put it in your shop, right? And no one cares about the customer at that level. They just want product. I'm serious. That'll be a topic for another time.
I like this segment because I feel like we always end on a real note of optimism.
I hope the next question's good.
Okay. A good segue perhaps from pineapple. What do you think the most dangerous fruit is?
Ooh.
Well, coconut, because there are statistics on how many people are killed by coconut every year.
Well, but if you got hit in the head with a dragon fruit, you'd be in much more pain than a coconut.
maybe it's a weird thing. So. Yeah, maybe if I Googled it elsewhere, I would know how many people are killed by dragon fruit versus
probably not as many as coconut, because yeah, coconut falls from a much higher distance. I guess functionally, coconut is probably the most accurate response, but like dangerous, like I don't know, like I want that to be like looks like a military weapon. So that's where the dragon fruit comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if there's a fruit people like consistently choke on. That's not very optimistic.
No.
It's not banana.
I didn't think these questions through clearly, but I don't think I can. I think you'll outsmart me at every turn and make it.
You've seen the XKCD where they talk about like the radiation level in bananas, right? Using bananas as a measurement of radiation exposure. I feel like, Allison, we've had this conversation. Have we not about radiation in bananas?
We have, but it's because they found that scorpion in that bag of bananas in Canada.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's probably on Twitter somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, next question. Favorite two Spice Girls? Captain.
Two Spice Girls is a question. Got it. Okay.
List your favorite two
Ginger
Spice
and
Girls.
Posh.
All in
There's five. Also a quiz on if you know any of the Spice Girls.
Ginger, Posh, Sporty.
Ginger copy Posh. Chris's answer, Gary.
And okay, the other one. Two. The black one and the other one.
All Spice and Five Spice. On that note, episode 101 next 2 weeks, something like that?
Yes.
Time is relative.
Yes, time is relative.
I know, and we're getting this countdown clock again, and it freaks me out every week. I don't know if you can visibly tell I panic when it gets there.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.